Welcome back. Hour number two, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, your host out in Las Vegas. You're the host today. James Salinas is out in Denver, Colorado. James, you know, the Super Bowl, so many angles and so many things we're going to be able to discuss, certainly, as we lead up to the big game. Chiefs, Bucks, that line again, three as a favorite, road favorite here, or neutral site favorite for Kansas City. 56.5 total. Debate whether that's inflated or not. But this matchup, Brady versus Mahomes, it's incredible just to think about these two type of quarterbacks going at it. I think they're 2-2 head up. But look at the history of these games between whether Brady with the Patriots. I know they're different teams, but you got the Chiefs, which is the constant here. Patriots 43-40 against the Chiefs back in October 2018. January 20th, 2019, Patriots on top of the Chiefs 37-31, the AFC Championship. And then you have the Chiefs getting the best of Tom Brady and the Patriots, holding them to 16 points. They scored 23, and that was 2019 as well, 2020. The Chiefs on top of the Bucks, 27-24. All competitive situations right here. Some high scoring, James.
Well, I think that this year's matchup, right, because now he's with the Bucks, and so I'll tend to look more at what did that game, how did that game play out, and trying to remember back to, and I'll go back, and we have plenty of time to dig back into it and watch it. I just remember that that first half, in particular that first quarter, I believe they just really, as far as Kansas City goes, they jumped all over him. I mean, it was it felt like, I think Tyreek Hill, didn't he have like 200 yards in that first half to that effect? I mean, he had
right.
13 receptions for the game, 269 yards, but it was all really in that first half. I mean, just absolutely one-way street, lit him up, and then kind of took the foot off the gas. And we saw that happen a lot from Kansas City in a number of games this season. Yeah, they were big favorites and tended not to cover against the spread. Now, so much for that. All of they hadn't covered since the Jets, and, you know, a three-point favorite yesterday, and there was no question they were going to not only win but cover that game as the game played out. But going back to that game, I just feel like I remember the KC just kind of having some fun there and feeling like we're going to be able to do whatever we want to do offensively. And obviously they did, because of the, as far as the speed of Tyreek Hill. I know Travis Kelce had a pretty good game too. Watkins was in that game. That's one that's been out for a while. Another couple weeks for him to heal, to be able to come back onto that roster. And we know Sammy Watkins made some big plays in the Super Bowl last year against SF. I want to dig more into that matchup as we progress and really just kind of see, like, what was the ebb and flow of that game? Because I think that was at a standpoint where Tampa was just kind of a good game and a bad game and just not really finding their identity yet offensively. And I think that's what we've seen the last few weeks. Well, I'm just going to attribute Tampa to what we've seen in the playoffs the last few weeks offensively, where they've tried to run the football, but ultimately I think the biggest key has been the protection that we've seen up front for Tom Brady to have clean pockets. We know Brady's a rhythm thrower, and being able to keep him upright and really give him those lanes of sight that he wants to throw to, because we know he wants to do those quick hitters, especially in between the numbers. I think here that's really where the game was, in a sense. We'll get away from the coaches from yesterday for Green Bay and some of the decisions that they made and put their players in. But ultimately, I thought that Tampa was the better team, starting at the line of scrimmage on both the offensive side with their offensive line and their defensive line. I mean, they were in the backfield harassing Aaron Rodgers all day long. And now we're going to look ahead to this matchup against the KC Chiefs. We talked about it very briefly, and we'll have plenty of time to really break down the roster and who's going to be starting up front for the Kansas City Chiefs. But losing left tackle Fisher yesterday, this is not anywhere close to the same offensive line for Kansas City going into this Super Bowl that it was in that Super Bowl last year. That I think the edge right now, definitely when it comes to the trenches on the defensive side for Tampa, it's with that defensive front, because they should be able to really get some good pressure and really kind of take advantage of some of the mismatches there inside with that offensive line for Kansas City.
Absolutely. Mismatch right there. You think about Tom Brady, too, in the Super Bowls. A lot of sample size here. As a favorite, 4-3 straight up, 2-5 ATS. Now, as an underdog, which doesn't happen that often, even though he's been to 10 Super Bowls now, 2-0 straight up, 2-0 ATS as an underdog right there, James.
Yeah, and I think the first game was the underdog, right? Mm-hmm. Were they like a 13 or 14 point dog. I forget what that was against the Rams. It was definitely double digits back there, but no one gave them a chance. And ultimately, that was a different team. We're talking about as an underdog, that first go around in the Super Bowl for Tom Brady and the Patriots. It was defense. That's how they won that Super Bowl. But Brady making the throws he needed to make and not, you know, really, I don't want to say he was managing the game, but ultimately it wasn't his game to win or lose. It was really predicated on that defense to solidify themselves and really get after Rams back then. But now, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a short number. It's 3 here, and it's, you know, we can call it as an underdog because that's what the number says. But, you know, that's what's been so interesting. Of all the teams all season long with that are at least within the playoffs from the start of the playoffs at the wild card, Tampa's been the one that I've just been struggling to get my arms around and get my mind right to as far as really getting a good handle on what to expect from Tampa week in and week out. And it's played that way for me throughout the season and definitely in the playoffs too. I like Green Bay yesterday and you know the coaching acumen. We've talked about this too, and we got to handicap this, and we say right. It every week, and then I just kind of, not that I dismissed it when I started making my bets over the weekend, but you know, we have to handicap these coaches in game situations. We can talk about what we think they're going to do as a game plan leading up to kickoff, but ultimately what are they going to do and how are they going to handle the moment when they're posed with a tough situation, and that's going to happen multiple times throughout a game. And really we see those games pivot and turn on some of these coaching decisions, and you know, I feel like that really affected both those coaches yesterday, even though Kansas City was clearly the better team. Definitely had an impact in that Green Bay game and that Green Bay side, and offensively and defensively, Pritch. But we've got to handicap these coaches going into this. We've got plenty of sample size to do. Arians has been there with the Cardinals, in a sense, in the playoffs before, too. So lots to break down, lots to get through. It's going to be a fun couple weeks.
It really will be. Arians has been there. I mean, he's been a coordinator for Roethlisberger, Manning, Brady. I mean, Arians. He's been in these Super Bowls, right? Tremendous acumen right there. Let's get to the drama, because the history of this game, Super Bowl era, Morton, Manning, Warner, and now Brady, quarterbacks that have gone to Super Bowls with two different franchises, or more than the first franchise, certainly. And so look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has been to, what, two Super Bowls? Or was it one Super Bowl?
Just one.
He won. Okay, so one Super Bowl, had a great opportunity to go this time. It doesn't get any better than this for Aaron Rodgers. Is he trying to position himself to be a player that gets out of Dodge when it comes to getting out of Green Bay and going somewhere else to try to finish his career and get to another Super Bowl?
Well, and I think what can we read into his post-game comments yesterday, right? I think part of it was, you know, they asked him about that decision to not go for it on fourth down. And where were they at, the 7, the 8 yard line there, mm-hmm. just over 2 minutes to go, and you're down 8 and you decide to kick the field goal. That's the coaching. Rodgers doesn't have, we don't have these players anymore. I mean, I remember quarterbacks called the plays lot, at least that I remember growing up as a kid. And so, you know, or at least they had a lot of influence, not only on the game plan, but also what was going on within the game, and had more autonomy to be able to make decisions. Now, in this case, obviously, this was not Rodgers' decision to not go for it. I'm sure if he had his way, they definitely would have been going for it on fourth and goal inside the 10. But, you know, I think with his post-game comments, maybe there's something telling there. It's I don't want to read too much into that, Pritch, because it's just such a, obviously, incredibly disappointing for him getting all the way there, especially of a grind of a season, how the season played out all season long for all these players, right, and all the sacrifices they had to make due mm-hmm. to the protocols and safety standards set down by the NFL. But I think even in the preseason, right, or before the season, in the offseason last year, with drafting a quarterback, Love, up there in the second round, when you could clearly see there's a lot of holes on that team. Right? How much did Aaron Rodgers really mask the holes? We saw some issues at the offensive line, but really on the defensive side, there's a lot of holes defensively at the linebacker position. Not much of a pass rush. Definitely corner. At the safety position, corner too. Yeah, check the boxes. We can go right down the list. And we know that he wasn't very happy, and he voices his displeasure about where they were going and what that tone was set for this franchise going forward by drafting the quarterback who didn't see see the field, and why would he? It's Aaron Rodgers' team until he's no longer there.
He wasn't even a backup, James.
Yeah, right.
They traded up for Jordan Love, and he wasn't even a backup this year.
Right, so what does that mean? What does that mean internally for the franchise? What is the message being sent, and where are they going? Who's got the power to say this is where we're going to go with it? It just seems like there's the leadership is branched off with that team. And is it the who's the head defensive coordinator? Here's another coordinator as the head coach, LaFleur, more so buried in his play sheet than really focused on what's going on with the game. And he's thinking ahead to the next series offensively than where they should be focused and what they should be calling defensively. As a head coach, you have full reign over how you want these games to play out. And I don't know, Pritch, where does Aaron Rodgers go? I mean, obviously he's tied to a contract there, but
sure,
you know, we see this, players have leverage, right? I can retire, maybe I don't want to play anymore, right? And maybe I don't want to play, maybe Andy probably still has a lot of fire for the game. He's such a competitive player and still a great player as long as he's played, tremendous player, but he has the leverage from that sense, and maybe he needs to step away for a little while. I don't want to put too much into, like we said, we don't want to put too much into just the post game comments, because it's very, I like to watch post game comments after game, win and lose, because you really get players at their emotional state, right? They're in a sense a bit vulnerable and be more apt to not be as guarded with their answers. And maybe Rodgers really wasn't either. He needs to take some time to think about it. But then what does that mean for the Packers franchise? I mean, ultimately, I think the coaching side is the bigger question to me. If Rodgers stays, then do they keep the same coach if Rodgers stays? Maybe he can have some leverage to say, maybe we need a change at the offensive side or maybe at the head coaching position. To where I feel more comfortable as a quarterback to remain here in Green Bay. I mean, he's definitely got the leverage to do that. Now, whether the Green Bay brass are going to push forward with that, a lot to play out. Going to be a lot of drama up there in Green Bay over the next handful of months in the offseason.
Yeah, if he was a young player, James, I would say, you know, he was emotional. But this guy's been around. He's 37 years old. He's closing in on 40. And I don't think, I think this was measured. I think he purposely said what he said and certainly put the Packers on notice. We'll follow that, as well as Deshaun Watson putting the Texans on notice. He wants out. Matthew Stafford, he wants out. I mean, these quarterbacks, certainly if they have the leverage, you know, I don't know if it's more leverage or just, look, I want my career to be different. So let's look at these Super Bowl odds, because this is interesting. When you think about the 2022 Super Bowl, in fact, if Rodgers is traded, there's already people mentioning, okay, where could he go? What's his destination? And then Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford, Chiefs plus 600, Packers plus 900, but then Ravens, Bills, Bucks. Let's go to 49ers, 14-1, which is one of those teams. The Broncos. They're not on here, but certainly that's another team that's rumored in terms of John Elway, who would want to go after a quarterback. The Saints, 18-1, even though they got Jameis Winston. I mean, the Rams, 20-1. These are teams, Cowboys, 25-1. I know you're not the kind of guy that would take a shot at Super Bowl 20 in 2022, but what do you think about these odds, and then also the notion that these quarterbacks could force their way out of the situations and improve their situations?
Well, I've played the future market in the past, and sometimes it's that's the difficulty, and I think that's what's going to be so challenging this year, is there's so many things that we don't know. You talked about all the quarterback movement, or the quarterbacks that want to have some movement. I don't know if Stafford going anywhere. Coming to Denver, Stafford's not somebody that I say, oh, that's the one piece you need to plug in that's going to lead you to a Super Bowl. I mean, I think he's got one playoff win, whatever that is, so doesn't have nearly the same kind of acumen that I think that Rodgers would be coming into any team, and or Watson, who's got that capability for sure. But I think you look at a team like, if we're talking about Rodgers, where he might go, I don't know, would they, if they were going to trade him, do you think they would want to trade him in the NFC? I just can't see them wanting, if he does get traded out of Green Bay, I can't imagine they would want to trade him within the conference. But that aside, I mean, you got to look, if I'm going to do any kind of futures, then what I'm looking at is which which teams are going to be most intact going into the following season, right? Like the coaching staff's intact, the roster's more so intact, the key pieces that are there. Maybe somebody like the Seahawks. I know they're going to make some transition at the coaching level. It's definitely on the offensive coordinator, which is probably well warranted, but they have a lot of pieces up there in Seattle. They definitely need some more help on the offensive line and could use some help at corner, but you know, they're solidified at safety. I think those linebackers want to come back and make one more run at it, and you have a Russell Wilson there. If they can improve, they have the running game, so if they can improve that offensive line at 18-1, not going to be a whole lot of turnover out of that roster and build off of what they did this year and get some guys healthier. If we're looking down at a shot that I think teams are going to be most impacted or least impacted by turnover, I think it's probably going to be the Seahawks.
How about that? And then the 49ers, 14-1 right now. If they were to acquire Aaron Rodgers, where do you think those odds would jump to?
Well, I think they'd jump right to the top of the pack when it comes to you know, the shortest odds to go. But yeah. I just can't see the Packers wanting to do that in conference and put your franchise quarterback there in the same conference where you know you're not going to be able to go and beat your beloved franchise quarterback.
Yeah, then get it done next time. Do you remember what they acquired when they traded away Joe Montana? I mean, that's a question for a later time, certainly. But think about that one as we move on to NBA player props. That's coming up next. If you need to hire, then you need Indeed. Indeed would immediately deliver quality candidates from our resume database when you upgrade your job posts. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. And James, some NBA player props. I like these. You like these. Kevin Durant against the Heat, 27.5. Kyrie Irving versus the Heat, 24.5. I think all their games have gone over lately, certainly. Harden, they're at the top, 24.5. Luka Doncic against the Nuggets, 27.5. The Jokic, the Joker out there with the Mavs, 23.5. Your thoughts on some of these NBA player props as well?
Well, I think let's start with the Brooklyn Nets first. I mean, we know what they're going to be. They're going to be looking to score, and they can score from all different angles with so much talent, at least from the starters. I think as the season progresses, especially in the playoffs, that short bench will be a concern. Hence, they may be looking, like you were talking about, some trades. The roster that they have now is probably not the roster we're going to see set going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the hard part to predict is, all right, well, from the Nets, I mean, we've seen it once Kyrie got himself back into the lineup. He was like, I'm getting my touches. I'm putting the shots up. And he has the ability to score at all three levels. But that's the kind of thing is, well, where are the shots going to come from? And who's going to be getting more shots tonight? Really, that's the hard part to try to figure out props for this team. However, looking at these props, the one thing that we have seen is James Harden, his acumen to pass the basketball. And now he's only played there. And it's a short sample size, so I don't want to get too far ahead of it. But you know, he's the five games that he's been there, he's averaged 12 assists per game. So, and he's talked about it too. He's talked about, you know, it's kind of relieving for me, you know, it's kind of a relief for me to not have to be the ball dominant person that I was in Houston, and every shot has to come from me. Now he can kind of defer, but in a sense, not just deferring and watching, but having the ball in his hands and being able to create. And especially on that team, you get it to a number of those guys, especially when you're talking about Durant and Kyrie. If you get it to them, they have the ability to score and tack up those assists too. So the fact that his prop tonight right now is 9.5 assists, I would lean towards the over with that, just based on what we've seen from that small sample size of five games, averaging 12 assists per game. The one concern is, though, he also is turning the ball over. Right. He's averaged six turnovers per game too. So, but you know, maybe he's trying to thread the nail and make some spectacular plays. The only concern I have when we're talking about props and is I've been doing all right with NBA props, but then you have to also hope that the game and really try to realize, is this game going to be a close game? Will it be a competitive game? Because otherwise, these stars on the floor, if they gets away from them, they may be sitting a lot. So something to look at here, because ultimately the Nets or the Miami Heat Pritch going up against the Nets, that's the struggle for them. So many issues with COVID and injuries, and just not sure from night to night. They're competing and playing hard, but they just don't have the roster that they had in the past due to these injuries and COVID. That sometimes some of these games, they competed the last game out and got back in and closed the game out pretty strong. But if it's a competitive game, I would like the over 9.5 assist prop. So if anything, rather than the points, I'd be leaning towards James Harden just to continue doing what he's done with the Nets.
You know, with the Bulls catching 4 points at home, what about Zach LaVine, 23.5, depleted, going up against the Celtics? Now, we'll see about their lineup, certainly. But then also LeBron maybe going off against the Cavs. You know, LeBron is at 25.5 AD. The big man situation there with the Cavs, 23.5 as well. Steph Curry, 28.5.
Yeah, and so actually that was one. This one that I've been playing now, I lost on it on Saturday night against the Jazz. I've been playing Draymond Green assist, okay. And it's just the standard. It's 6.5 almost every night. Everything's being I wouldn't say everything's being facilitated by Draymond Green, but since he's come back, he's not looking to score. He's trying to defer, and he's got a great ability to pass the ball and great court awareness to see the floor. And so he's been really dishing out a lot of assists too. And ultimately, anytime you can dish it to Curry, he's going to finish for you. But you know, they also got some finishers around the rim, and I think in this case, playing against the T-Wolves, they're not playing any defense whatsoever. They're giving up 115 points a game. They haven't played a lot of road games. They've only played 6 road games as opposed to I think 10 home games so far. So as far as for the T-Wolves going out, may not be a very competitive game, maybe an up and down game. So I might look at Draymond Green again, assists over 6.5. The one caveat, got to make sure it's a close game and going to be competitive. I did play that against the Jazz. He had 6 in that game, but ultimately they got the Warriors got blasted by the Jazz. And I think Draymond only played about 25 minutes, so that's the one concern. Make sure if you're playing any of these overs that you need this game to be competitive.
Some of those officials too sensitive, as Draymond was actually yelling at Wiseman, I think. And in fact, if you got Wiggins and Wiseman and certainly Oubre, I mean, along with Steph, you should facilitate if you're Draymond. His shots, he throws up some bricks, James. He needs to facilitate the Warriors laying 9 in that one against the T-Wolves. Up next, Ben Fox, VP of Digital Content. He joins the program. It's coming up next. We're gearing up for the big game here at VSIN, and of course we're keeping you up to date on every sports betting opportunity on the board. And this week we've updated our programming lineup. The Lombardi Line is now 2 hours every weekday from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, and we're excited to introduce The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw at 2 p.m. Eastern every weekday. It's Nuts with a Z. We also have our special big game preview show with Brent Musburger coming soon. To help you get ready for the Super Bowl betting and prop action, you can always find our lineup on vsin.com or in your daily VSIN subscriber email. And make sure to check out The Nuts with the Z weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, Mike Pritchard, James Linus. And in studio with us right now is Ben Fox, VP of Digital Content. Ben, how are you?
Doing well. You're having some fun with that read.
I am. Yeah. You know, I just want to clarify the Nets with a Z. Outstanding. Looking forward to that show, though. Right.
It was fun. Watched them earlier today. Did a good job in the preview. Get off on a good foot and take it again tomorrow.
Absolutely. And then the Lombardi Line going to 2 hours. That's going to be outstanding as well.
I don't think you can ever have too much NFL, right? I think that's what we've seen. Certainly, there's always plenty to talk about. You guys talking about all the quarterbacks, going to be fascinating. And once you start that offseason, all of a sudden the futures discussion, free agency, the draft, all those things certainly going to futures bets. And then this year especially, knock on wood, we'll have a little longer time with NFL win totals and other things that were cut short a little bit this season.
Okay, and also UFC. I mean, UFC getting it done. They had a spectacular fight. Poirier and McGregor, certainly. Now, Bill Goldberg, who was on the program, I played with him in Atlanta, he trains with Dustin Poirier. And then we had Dave Ross from Stadium. Mm-hmm. And I asked him the question about, are we overlooking the motivation factor for Poirier? And he said, yeah, we are. And sure enough, we are, because McGregor opened at minus 190, closed at minus 300. Poirier opened at plus 160, closed at plus 250. And we all know that Poirier won that fight.
Yeah, this was a fascinating fight, right? Just from watching it, I'd say I'm a casual UFC fan, mm-hmm. and you know, watched a fair amount of the fights. And it seemed like McGregor early on was kind of cruising, at least to me. It seemed like it was a matter of time. He was kind of picking his spots. Mm-hmm. And we saw Poirier kind of hit that front leg, and eventually, just all of a sudden, you know, in 30 seconds, 20 seconds, it was over like that. And naturally, McGregor is kind of like the, you know, whether he's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Packers or the Chiefs, he's that public play for UFC bettors.
Right.
Right. And he's kind of what casual fans know. And this was the first time he'd fought in a long time, I think almost a year. And the public just loaded up on him. I think at PointsBet, they had 98% of the money was on McGregor. I don't know if they took, you know, they took a couple very small bets. And just about every book, really, this is a great result. Everyone was on McGregor. I know at FanDuel, they had a couple, $188,800. That was the biggest bet on McGregor. Just a ton everywhere, basically, five- and six-figure bets on McGregor that didn't come through. Now, there were a couple on Poirier that did come through, $100,000 at BetMGM, and then there was a little larger one as well.
Okay.
That came through $170,000, I believe. Or excuse me, $200,000. So those were the big ones, but for the most part, the majority of the money on McGregor, a very good start to the weekend for the books. Very good as well because there's all that parlay liability. Everyone was parlaying McGregor with the Packers, with the Chiefs, some combination of that. So him losing knocked all that out early on Saturday night.
Yeah, Ben, I was just going to say that too. I was going to ask you, like, I'm sure there was, that was a big parlay buster with McGregor losing in that match and then everybody having to reload if you had carried it over to the NFL and then reload again. And all right, well, let's start over. Let's start fresh on Sunday and get back after it. Still staying with their teams. And in particular, we'll talk about the Packers because I think there was a lot of money and a lot of bets on the Packers, even though that number started to drop, especially the juice dropping in favor of the Bucks. Where were the big bets on that game, and kind of which side was the money on for Packers Bucks?
Yeah, no surprise, certainly, right? The Green Bay, this was again two public teams, right? I think it should be mentioned. Chiefs and Bills, obviously the Bills starting to become more of a public team with Josh Allen, but Tampa Bay has been a giant public team, the number one liability for sportsbooks really across the nation on them winning the Super Bowl. So they still have that alive. In this game, though, they were rooting for the Bucs because everyone was on the Packers. It was just 75% of the money here, 80% of the money here, 87% of the money at Westgate, 76% bet Rivers, 82% FanDuel, 79% points bet, just basically 80% of the money everywhere on the Packers, including $525,000 wager at BetMGM, $320,000 on the Packers, minus 3, minus 20 at FanDuel, that was in Pennsylvania, $275,000 wager on the Packers, minus 3.5. So just Packers money all over the place. There were two large Tampa Bay wagers, $550,000 on the Bucks plus 3.5, and $500,000 on the Bucks plus 3.5 at William Hill and BetMGM. The interesting thing about that $500,000 wager, again, sportsbooks don't typically give out who the better, that the mm-hmm. identity, but that one was also placed at Bally's, and that is where the Dustin Poirier bet, the $200,000 one, was on Saturday night. So okay. A likelihood that somebody bet $200,000 won, I think that's $540,000, and rolled over $500,000 on the Bucks, which also won. So that's almost $1 million there. That's not a bad weekend, certainly. Again, you can't verify that it's mm-hmm. that person, but considering there aren't a whole lot of people dropping $500,000, it seems pretty likely that it is.
Let it ride. Let it ride. There was a great movie called Let It Ride, right? Horse
yep.
racing?
Mm-hmm.
That was outstanding. I still watch that movie. It's an outstanding movie. What about the, you know, you got the Chiefs public team, kind of, but Josh Allen, you mentioned, certainly. This line stayed at 3, even though the news about Mahomes, he was going to play and he's going to be healthy enough to play, and but yet that didn't shift things. What did you see in this one?
Yeah, so this is one we've kind of seen. We've seen a little bit with the Super Bowl line, too, where it's 3.5, 3, 3.5. This was, again, as we talked about before, really an interesting opening with kind of how it came, and we weren't sure if Mahomes was going to play, right, and the toe, and some places this opened Bills minus 2.5, some places this opened Chiefs minus 1. Market kind of got up to around, you know, Chiefs minus 2.5, minus 3, and 3.5 as well. And it was, again, an interesting game, basically 50-50 split at a lot of different places. But again, not the same as the Packers game, which was so overwhelmingly on one side of the public on the Packers. This was more of a split one, but certainly a lot of big bets as well in the Chiefs, as you would expect. And can certainly go into that a little more on the other side of the break.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things I was paying attention to during the game was the live in-game betting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a guy who was very casual, I wanted to participate, but I was suspended multiple times during the Green Bay Packers and Tampa Bay game.
Well, we can get into that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to get your thoughts as well as the thoughts of James Salinas about in-game betting, as well as some leans, and we'll go over to NBA action as well. That's all coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when they place a $1 wager on the Lakers or Cavs to hit a three. Download the app today. Use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Lakers or Cavs to hit a three. It's a new customer offer and is paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada, 800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 800-BETS-OFF, and Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a problem, wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, Ben Fox is in studio with us as well. Following up on the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills game, some more betting action to note.
Yeah, so just to close the loop on that as well, forgot to mention for the Packers game as well, that was the best result of the season at Circa Sportsbook and the best result for multiple books. So that was just kind of cleaning up there, everyone very happy. And then, of course, for the books, and thankfully for the bettors, they gave away a lot of that in the Chiefs game. So, obviously, the Chiefs public team, that got down to minus 3, like we'll talk about a little bit with in-game wagering as well. Chiefs down 9-0. They were actually an underdog on the money line there. I think they're about +2, +2.5 at the lowest point. So a lot of people jumping in there as well on the Chiefs. But some pregame bets as well. The biggest bet of the weekend, $800,000 on the Chiefs money line, -160 at BetMGM. We also had $705,000 on the Chiefs money line, -155, $330,000 on the Chiefs -3. You get the point. A lot of big bets on the Chiefs. We did see $110,000 here at the South Point on the Bills +3.5. I was also on that side for a little less money.
Okay.
But most of the money on the Chiefs, certainly not as good a result for the sports books, although I know at Circa as well, knocking out the Bills also knocked out some of that Super Bowl liability, which they had on the Bills. But basically, a poor result, good result for bettors, not as good for the sports books on the second game, but they won more on the first game than they lost on the second game.
I tell you what, James, in-game betting, I was on the Bucks, but I was kind of confident about everything until Aaron Rodgers started to do this comeback thing, right? So I started watching the in-game betting, and luckily for me, I was about to mess up, but luckily for me, I got suspended. What about in-game betting? How do you go about that? And then certainly, how do you avoid getting suspended? Now, being suspended helped me. I would have just lost my money because I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, I think you mean suspended, meaning that it wouldn't take the bet.
Right.
It probably was just circling and waiting. It's still not active, right? So for me, I don't. And Pritch, were you doing that on your phone or are you doing that on a computer, on a laptop?
I was on my phone at a book with their internet.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe so. And sometimes it's just the volume. You know, I think that'd be a good question to dig into with operators, right? What are they waiting for? Because I know my only concern with doing live betting right up to the second is that I know we have a lag, right? We have a lag from what we see, and I notice that here. So what I do with my live betting, I don't utilize my phone. I'm home when I do that, and I have the setup, right, with multiple computers. I have multiple books that are open. Now, I have to toggle in between because you might jump on something you want to get into it, and now you've been logged out of your account, and you got to quickly log back in. So, but I also have, you know, an Ethernet. I'm connected straight to the port here for me, so it's faster from that standpoint for me. But I think the live betting piece, the only concern that I have, and I was talking about, right, was the fact that, like, I have DirecTV service, and I know it's a satellite service. I can actually see when these numbers are live, they change before the play actually happens, and I'll know that something good and or bad, one way or the other, has happened based on what the current number is that I see on my on the app or on, you know, here on my computer for that particular sports book. So I keep multiple books open, but I'm not jumping right there play after play. It may be a timeout. It kind of depends on the sport. But a lot of times what I'll also do, Pritch, is I'll load it up. So let's say I like a certain side. Maybe it was the Chiefs and they're down 9 and it's in-game right now and we know that you're going to get a decent number. I'll put the Chiefs in there. Now that'll fluctuate and I'll put the price of the amount of money that I want to bet in there. Now that'll change and it'll say, actually, accept, do you accept, etc. And I can be ready to push it. But I'll get all of that loaded up and ready if there's a particular side that I like. So we talk about in-game, we talk about live, but it truly isn't live right on the spot because at least for me here, Pritch, because of the service that I have and it is satellite, I know I have a little bit of a lag from what's actually occurring on the field and what I actually get to see it on the screen.
And it's funny, I was talking to Pritch in the break here, and I said the same thing, right?
Right.
It's like sometimes when you're watching the game, I actually don't want to watch it or have the app open because, yes, you're going to be probably a play or sometimes two behind. And when it's a fourth down conversion or something, you kind of know what's going to happen based on following the spread and the money line and things like that. I think what James is saying, though, is really important as well for bettors out there, which is for all these games, you might have a pregame bet. Have a plan, right? Have a plan for what you want to do in-game. The Chiefs-Bills is a perfect example. Chiefs sometimes start slow, and they're not going to be down 9 or 10 to nothing very often. So when that happens, and you like the Chiefs, you already liked them -3, now maybe you really like them +2.5 or +120 on the money line, then pounce on it. But again, if the game goes the other way, the Chiefs are up 10 nothing, and it's a worse money line or a spread, you know, stay away. You already have your -3. You already have a good number. So it's really important to have kind of a game plan going in. You don't want to just kind of be willy-nilly, you know, looking at the spread and total and reacting as it comes during the game.
Oh, I lost my mind. I completely lost my mind. I mean, I was on the sideline making up stuff. Yep. Seriously, I didn't have a plan or anything. I just wanted to participate. But the good thing, I got suspended. My friends, he was cracking up because he was like, man, the suspension saved you some money. So be happy about that. And I was. But I'll eventually get there in terms of in-game. I think you could take advantage of some certain circumstances and things that you see developing throughout a game. What about developing in the Super Bowl? Ben, Kansas City, public team, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, not typically a public team, but Tom Brady is.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's always interesting year after year seeing exactly when the Super Bowl line opens. Seems to be sooner and sooner, certainly. And again, it depends on which championship game is last and how close that game is. This was a game, certainly with the Bills and the Chiefs, that was close early on, and the Chiefs pulled ahead. And I think after that Josh Allen interception in the red zone, they were already up double digits. The first one I saw was Westgate to open. I think they were -3.5 for the Chiefs, a total of 57.5. We've seen that number come down a bit, really. It's now -3 across the board with some juice at certain books. South Point doesn't have juice, so they're just -3 flat. And the total come down a bit as well, really 56, 56 and a half. So early betting, I think taking Tampa Bay, Tom Brady with that hook. But I think we're going to see this toggle probably between 3.5 and 3 for a good amount of time. The total, again, could see that go down a little bit more, but that's kind of better as taking an early position here. And again, there's so much time. We always talk about with these championship games as well in the Super Bowl, we're going to have, you know, 2%, 3%, 5% of the money that's going to be bet on the Super Bowl the next coming days and even the coming week. It's all going to be coming in next week and certainly next weekend. So always important to see the early trends and see kind of where some of the sharp money is, but we got a long way to go for the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. You know, James, I'm learning so much, being around a book, being around sports bettors. And so a conversation I was involved with and included, or the concept of trying to middle your bet. So you see this number -3 for the Chiefs, and then maybe you can tease some situations as well and try to win both bets. Is that something that you're into?
Well, but not so much before the game kicks, but let's say I have a position on a game before it does kick or it tips off, and then that's where in-game wagering or live wagering, if that's where you have opportunities to do that. Maybe like just like we were talking about before, we had you could have had the Chiefs going in laying 3, and then at one point they're down 9-0, so maybe now it's a +4. There's so many opportunities where you could get both sides and you could find middles. You can do that with totals a lot as well, especially in basketball, because those totals can fluctuate quite a bit. So there's plenty of opportunities to middle, but for me, I'm not usually trying to do it before the game tips off or before the game kicks off. It's more so looking for those opportunities in game, because there are a lot of those opportunities, because especially when those games start off. So if it does get off to fast starts, just exactly like Ben was talking about, you know, certain teams are slow starters. You may not even want to get that number before it kicks off. You could wait to get a better number in game, but definitely opportunities to look at, Pritch, when it comes to middling, but more so on a live game once the game is already in play.
Yeah, going to be a lot of more variability in the, assuming that's a word, I think it is, variability. More variables in game.
Right, right.
You're going to have a wider range, certainly. Mm-hmm. And so when you're setting up a middle, you want the largest middle that you can have, right? The most potential numbers that game can hit in between. In this case, if you try and do that before the game, you're probably going to get one team at 2.5, one team at 3.5. The game has to land on 3. Again, the most common number that NFL games do land on, so certainly possible. But if you can get, you know, a 6-point, 7-point middle, that's obviously going to be far more advantageous for you than just a single number that it can land on.
Ben, I asked James this question earlier. I'll ask you this question on books in terms of no home field advantage. I mean, this is a neutral site, but it's not really a neutral site.
Yeah, a little bit kind of depending on the book. I know talked to Johnny Avella last night. He was saying about a point, potentially a point and a half. Others were saying just about 0, and others in between. So I think probably somewhere in that, you know, half point, maybe a point, depending on the book. Again, I think a lot of it's the travel. I know Kansas City as well with COVID restrictions can't fly in until later. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay obviously flying back. They're going to be at home. They know the stadium is sleeping in their bed, all of that thing. All of that probably is more important than the actual home field, again, especially to Super Bowl, where you're not going to have a home field advantage like it would be a Tampa Bay home game. It's going to be more a neutral crowd or both sides. So I think probably somewhere in that half point range.
Okay, we're off and running. I'm getting ready for the Super Bowl, the big game in a couple of weeks. James, have a great rest of the week. We'll see you later on in the week.
Absolutely. Take care, gentlemen. See you guys Thursday.
Absolutely. Look forward to that. That'll do it for us today. My guys in the desert coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.